Owen Schroyer.
Well, a pretty incredible story happened this week. Iowa boy born at just 21 weeks becomes Guinness World Records most premature baby ever. And there's some stunning images there of the child, tiny little baby, obviously, resting on the mother. And Nash Keen is the name of the young boy. Weighed only 10 ounces when he was born, 133 days before his due date, early enough to land him in the Guinness Book of World Records for the most premature baby of all time. And so the abortion issue is not as much of a political issue right now because Trump's sending it back to the states. So it kind of becomes more of a state issue, and the Democrats will use it as they can in an election cycle. But at the end of the day, it's up to the states to decide. But this is just a not so subtle reminder of why abortion is murder. This is your not so subtle reminder of why abortion needs to be looked at as killing a child, because that's what it is. And this miracle here shows you exactly that. And anybody that's gone through a premature birth like that knows the struggles and also knows the miracles and just comes to appreciate the whole process even more so. So it almost needs to become an image of the pro-life movement. And it's so dark and twisted to think how many 21 week olds have been shut off from their chance at life. Have been shut off before they could see the world, the light of the world, the heat of the world. It's like, how can you see that and still not understand what we've done and not just be heartbroken? So really the only people left pushing and supporting abortion are young liberal women. That's it. And here's an example of one who gets shut down at this abortion debate. Young liberal woman doesn't seem to know much about what she cares about. Gets shut down by the expert here in clip two.
So my poster reads, "Life begins when you understand living women matter more than potential babies."
If it's a potential baby, what is inside of a woman?
It's a fetus.
Is it living?
No.
How can it grow if it's not living?
Actually, that's like saying if an acorn is a tree.
When does the fetus become living?
That's actually a good question, but that line...
Yeah, of course, because you don't know it, because it's living.
Oh.
It's living. No, when is sustainability?
21? About, like, 30 weeks to born, like...
How do you sustain life? Like, my newborns aren't sustainable. You can't just have a newborn and they just, like, live on their own, right?
Right.
Is a newborn not worthy of life? Is a newborn not worthy of life?
So, you know, really what I'd like to see with all political discussion and debate, it's just, let's just have it in reality. Let's just have a debate in reality. And for this young girl, this isn't about, oh, it's not a baby, it's not a life. Stop it. That's just propaganda that the abortion industry has put into your mind. If you don't want to get pregnant, there are ways to prevent it, period. All right? Nobody's bugging you to not have sex, okay? But you know what happens when you have sex. So let's stop pretending like we don't. And you have dozens of options to prevent pregnancy, all right? Don't kill your kids.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025.
That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday, the 29th, to take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at thealexjonesstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, the medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only 3 or 4 of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect. But most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
The program that strikes fear into the heart of the elite. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Attack on free speech, but I guess it's really the same attack. Very targeted, and every time they fail in censorship, every time they get exposed in their censorship efforts, all the different ways that they've attempted to do it, of course, we now have a pretty clear picture of what they were doing, which they were first discussing in the Obama administration. They were going to do it with Clinton, but then Trump got in, so they were working behind the scenes. And that's when we saw the internet censorship start to roll out on social media specifically. Then they started having task force assignments to censor free speech and target people who they viewed politically as enemies for censorship. We found out about the disinformation czar or whatever that woman's name was that they put in charge. Very, very strange woman that they put in charge of that. And then that failed. Then we found out that they had created a secret program where they were communicating Democrats in these different federal bureaucracies, where they were communicating with social media companies through a portal, and they were suggesting things to be censored. The most famous case example would be the Hunter Biden laptop, but there were plenty of others. And so they kind of used this buffer as an excuse to say, we're not violating the First Amendment. We're not actually censoring anybody. The social media companies are doing that. So it's not illegal. It's not a First Amendment violation. Now, that's just like color of law, you know, legal loopholes that they're trying to use. No, the government was requesting censorship, pressuring censorship. Absolutely, it was a First Amendment violation. And really, there need to be, they should be paying out billions of dollars. But it's like, okay, they ran their little hedge of protection. Well, for the most part, these efforts have failed. It turns out Americans like free speech. So now we're kind of, and I think X really kind of broke the doors wide open. And I know there's a lot of censorship that still goes on. But it's a lot harder now. And when you do engage in the censorship, it's a lot easier to point out the platforms that are doing it and the specific stories that they're doing it to, because you can still get censored-free shows on Rumble. You can still get censored-free broadcasts and news on X. And so it kind of just shatters the whole thing. But that's not going to stop them. And the one thing that they're really concerned about at the ADL is, of course, anti-Semitism. Now, that's just propaganda as well. Because now they just say, if you don't support Israel, you're an anti-Semite. If you cover the war in the Gaza Strip, you're an anti-Semite. So it's really just anything. Now it's just become any news that Israel doesn't want you to see, they just say it's anti-Semitic, and then they censor it. And so that's what they're doing. And that's in the West, on top of the censorship that's happening actually on the ground in the Gaza Strip, where the IDF is trying to ban all journalists and having journalists arrested, and some have been killed. So here we go. And they're using some of the old tricks, but they're just repackaging it. Stop Hate Act is a dangerous attack on free speech and the right to dissent. This is an ADL-backed act. Gottheimer, Bacon, and ADL announced legislation to combat terrorists and disinformation on social media. And that's what they say to you, too. Oh, you don't support Israel? You're a terrorist. So see what they've done? That's the game that they've been playing now for over a year. If you don't support Israel and the Gaza Strip, you're a terrorist. You're an anti-Semite. And now here they come back and they say all terrorists and anti-Semites need to be censored. Of course, you're neither a terrorist or an anti-Semite. But that's what they label you as, and then they censor you for it. And soon they'll arrest you for it. That'll be next if they get away with this. This bill would fine social media companies $5 million every day for not fighting terrorism and anti-Semitism. So see, they're using that end around of the Constitution again to put the pressure on social media companies, and they're going to fine you $5 million a day if you don't censor for the ADL, if you don't censor at the behest of Israel's best interests. So anything Israel doesn't like is anti-Semitism. Anything the ADL doesn't like is anti-Semitism and terrorism. And so now you either get censored or the social media companies pay out $5 million a day. And then here was the press conference of them announcing this in clip 9.
This bipartisan legislation will require social media companies to release detailed public reports of violations of their terms of service and to outline how they're addressing these violations, which includes the use of their platforms by terrorist groups. Every day companies fail to report this information, it will result in a $5 million fine. Social media companies can no longer hide the crimes that take place on their platforms, especially when they pose a threat to America's national security. And we're very proud this bill has the backing of the Anti-Defamation League.
I saw anti-Semitism for the first time when I was 15 years old. I had good parents who taught me it was wrong, but it left a lasting impression on seeing my first incident as a teenager. And if you're on my social media, you see it every day from people that are responding back with what I consider is clearly anti-Semitic kind of messages on social media. I even saw a article today, it was about me, but talking about we had opposed congressmen who are pro-Zionists, right? And you're like, in other words, it's all over our social media, and it's unacceptable. And when I saw the protests out here the last 2 days, they were vile, right? They were, you can see the anti-Semitism in their comments and how they were treating some of our members of Congress who are Jewish. And I saw that firsthand. It's unacceptable. And so we want to be in a country that makes clear that anti-Semitism or any kind of racism is repugnant, unacceptable, not allowed in my space, and we have zero tolerance for it. And people should feel like they're scorned for having these ideas and espousing these ideals. And we need to work with our social media companies to clean this up, because what is going on is wrong. And I think it's further influencing other young, more people that more, you know, can be influenced by what they're seeing. That this is acceptable behavior. It is not. So we need to hold these companies accountable and work with them to take it off the airwaves. So I'm glad to work with my good friend on this. I appreciate Mr. Greenblatt being here as well.
I applaud Congressman Gottheimer, Congressman Bacon, for reintroducing the Stop Hate Act. It's bipartisan. That's launched not because they are Democrat or Republican, because they're patriots who understand what our country needs to hold the tech companies accountable and get them to curb the conduct.
Oh, yeah, it's bipartisan, all right. We all know why. And Jonathan Greenblatt at the ADL, he's going to decide what the meaning of patriotism is. He's going to lecture us on patriotism. Oh, we have a problem with people that don't like Randy Fine. because he's Jewish. You know, Randy Fine that has an Israeli flag higher than the American flag in his own congressional office. You know, Randy Fine that runs around with the Israeli flag on him all day long. You know, Randy Fine that celebrates death and destruction. You know, Randy Fine that celebrates kids starving to death. Yeah, you can't criticize him because he's Jewish. And we're going to sign laws that make sure you're not allowed to criticize members of Congress. Because that's patriotic. And this is in America's best interest. Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Right. Yeah. That's who wants this, is America. America is the country calling for censorship. Yeah. America is the country concerned about anti-Israel commentary on the internet. That's America. Oh, yeah. And I love how they play this game, like they pretend they don't know what's going on. It's kind of a Streisand effect, but it's not even that. It's just like locker room talk, inside jokes, where I don't even know what a good example would be. It'd be like if your friend did something or said something goofy, and then everybody just kept saying it for a couple months afterwards because it was just funny or something. It's like the whole anti-Semitism thing on X is like because you cry about it. It's like, not to say that there isn't real anti-Semitism, but it's like, let's not even go there for now. Most of the stuff is just sarcasm. Most of the stuff is just trolling. Most of the stuff is just giving you the middle finger. That's what most of it is. And now it's just, but you're playing right into the hands. You're proving all the quote-unquote anti-Semites to be correct when you do this. It's like, hey, don't you know cancel culture is Jewish? Don't you know censorship is Jewish? And then here come the Jews saying, we have to censor speech for America. And it's like, oh, hey, isn't that funny? How about that? So you're not allowed to be anti-Semitic? Yeah, you are. That's your free speech. That's your free speech. And of course you're allowed to criticize Israel. That's also your free speech. But they write laws banning that. But see, I can go into the biggest bookstores in the country. You can go into Barnes & Noble, and they'll have an entire section. They'll have an entire section of books right when you walk in that are anti-white. Books like White Fragility, books like White Rage. A whole section of them. First thing you see when you walk in. In fact, guys, if you pull up, Mike Cernovich posted that last night, and he put an image up. So where are the white groups, you know, trying to write speech laws? Because you can publish books and put them in the front of a Barnes & Noble that's clearly anti-white bigotry. There's none of it. Doesn't exist. Where are people trying to go into these institutions, these universities, where they discriminate against white people? They also discriminate against Asian people. Where are the people trying to respond to that? Well, I guess the Trump administration is doing a little bit of something about that. But no. Notice what they prioritize first. They prioritize the Jewish students, and they prioritize the Jewish faculty, and they just gave them $20 million for their plight. But the white students that got left behind, the white students that got left out, the white faculty that can't get a raise or a promotion, you don't get jack crap. No, you go into the bookstore and you see the section of white hate, white rage. Why I'm no longer talking to white people. America's original sin of being white. Me and white supremacy. I mean, these are the books you see. Now, can you imagine Greenblatt and the ADL? What if you walked into a bookstore and it was a section of books, Jewish fragility, Jewish supremacy, Jews' original sin? How do you think that would go? Just curious. Do you think Greenblatt would have a problem with that? Of course they would. And they'd be suing every bookstore, they'd be suing every book publisher. So then what happens? So the very quote-unquote anti-Semites that they're referring to here, you just proved them right. Cancel culture is Jewish. Censorship is Jewish. You're just proving them right. So what are you going to do? You're going to censor them. And you're going to threaten social media companies with millions of dollars in fines if they don't censor the speech that you don't like. But you have no problem with all the anti-white bigotry. And by the way, there's anti-black bigotry. There's anti-Indian, anti-Mexican. There's all kinds of different hate corners of the internet. But, only one gets the legal protection. Only one gets the fines. Only one gets the lawsuit. Only one gets the payouts. So then what do people do? So they go online and they make anti-Semitic jokes and they play into that hand. Because it's just so obvious. It's so obvious it's hilarious. It's so obvious it's comical. It's humorous now. How over the top it is. So it becomes this joke. It becomes this inside running joke. And then it's, well, it's a little too much for you. So you play right into the meme and you shut it down. You shut it down. By the way, I don't even know. Do we want to look into the early life of those authors? Whoa. Easy there, anti-Semite. Easy. So that's what's going on here, and people are actually, I guess you would say that people are afraid to get into it because it's the most protected thing of, you know, you can't be critical of Israel, you can't say anything negative about Jewish people, so it's like the most protected thing out there. So that's why some people decide, okay, we're going after that, but then it's why you can't have serious movements against it. So that's why they love to play this game, and they'll say, oh, look at all the anti-Semites. And it's just some guy posting on the internet, some anonymous account posting on the internet. It's not like the powerful ADL. It's not like there's some powerful white lobby doing this. It's just a bunch of kids on the internet for the most part. So they have to be shut down. They have to be targeted. So aside from the racial issues or any of that, where are the groups coming out and decrying this attack on free speech? If somebody comes up and says, I want to make it illegal for you to write a book that's negative about white people, I would stand up and I would say, he has every right to write a book that's negative about white people. And I would stand up because that's free speech. Somebody was on the street corner in Austin, Texas, which does happen, by the way. We've covered it. Happens at Texas State University. We've covered that, too. They can publish. Literally, it was on their thing. They said, white DNA is an abomination. Now, I went down there and covered it. I never called for them to be shut down. I just said, here's what you deal with on a college campus. Here's what you deal with. They published that. But if somebody came in there and said, we're going to censor them, or we're going to silence them, or we're going to fine them, or we're going to arrest them, I'd say, no. We're on a battlefield of ideas, but they have the right to free speech. But here comes the ADL reminding you, your free speech ends where Israel says it ends. Your free speech ends when you offend a Jew. We're shutting you down. We're fining you. We're calling you a terrorist. Yeah. And it's like a bunch of 20-something-year-olds shit posting on the internet. It's just like, give me a break. And so, yeah, is there a rise of anti-Semitism? Yeah, what do you think's causing it? So now it's just going to be worse. Gee, I hear all these people talking about the ADL and these different Jewish lobbies trying to censor free speech. I keep hearing about this. And then they do it, and you're like, whoa, that's strange. All these goofy anti-Semites were actually right. So it's just wild to watch this whole thing play out. But, I mean, it's totally green-lit and backed by the administration. There's nobody in the mainstream media. The mainstream media wouldn't dare touch that. They wouldn't dare touch it. They're such cowards. You know, I remember when they hit InfoWars and when they hit Alex Jones. I remember every single one of those suckers. I remember every single one of those punks, specifically that went on Fox News. Watching CNN and MSNBC celebrate it, whatever, I shrug my shoulders, I'm not surprised. No, I watched every single one of those punks, like Steve Hilton and others. I watched every single one of you punks go on so-called right-wing conservative news and celebrate the censorship of Alex Jones and InfoWars. You're punks. So you'll celebrate it when it's comfortable for you. When you think it's comfortable, you'll celebrate censorship and free speech. But as soon as it's, oh, they're censoring stuff for the Biden administration. Oh, no, that's free speech. Look at how strong I am. Look at how brave I am. Look at how courageous I am. I'm standing up against social media censorship, even though I celebrated it when there was a test case of Alex Jones and InfoWars. But now it's me. Now it's about vaccines. Now it's about the Hunter Biden laptop. Oh, no, we don't like censorship. Censorship bad. But when it was InfoWars, you loved it because you're a coward. And now it'll be the exact same game. It'll be the exact same people. Yeah, we need to censor anti-Semitic speech. We can't have it. But if it's anti-Christian speech, they won't say a damn thing. When it's anti-Muslim speech, they won't say a damn thing. Because they're cowards and frauds. So they're kind of slipping this in right now, and it's not getting much attention. But really, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Anna Paulina Luna and some others, when they first tried to do this in that anti-Semitism bill a couple years ago, and Marjorie Taylor Greene started doing the media rounds and highlighting the portions of the bill, like you couldn't talk about the New Testament and Jesus and everything. And she really was the only one out of the gates standing up and publicizing that stuff and saying, hell no. So that cleared the room for the rest to then stop that bill from getting passed. This is not going to go over well. It's not going to go over well. And you know, you can point out to all the anti-Semites and you can show all the Jew hate and everything else that goes on. And people can be disgusted by it. And they can rebuke it, and they will, but they're not going to stand for the censorship. It's not going to happen anymore. And it's disgusting. I can't believe that we're still doing this. But you know what? In a humorous note, they're literally being the meme. Jonathan Greenblatt, the ADL, and his little friends writing the anti-Semitism laws, they have literally become the meme that we're all laughing at.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are here at the Bigley Manufacturing and Production and Fulfillment Center. It's one of the most impressive things that I've ever seen in my entire life. You can see here, we've got some amazing products like the ultra methylene blue capsules, light you up like a Christmas tree. We've got the tincture version of it as well, which makes you feel like you're plugged directly into the wall. Amazing new Irish sea moss. We've got the power plant, which is incredible, especially if you take it with the methyl drive. We call it the power drive. But this is one of the most impressive operations that I've ever seen. So many people working day and night to fulfill orders. We're shipping out orders within 72 hours of them being placed on the AlexJonesStore.com. And it's all possible because you support us at the AlexJonesStore.com. But you can see over here, we've got shirts lined up. They're all numbered in the system so we can run by and fulfill orders as quickly as possible. There's dozens of people running around here right as we speak, just fulfilling orders like crazy. And you're the reason that Alex Jones is always going to be on the air. Let me show you some more. Yeah, you can see here that they've just got stacks and stacks and stacks in this warehouse of product and product and product. And a lot of these are the Shilajit gummies, which are one of our best sellers. You can see them labeled up here. We've got the Shilajit capsules. We've got the methylene blue. We've got silver coins lined up. They lock those up in the back because they're so valuable. And they're absolutely incredible collector's items, plus shirts upon shirts, hats upon hats. I want to show you a little bit about how the hats and the shirts are produced. Tell me a little bit about how this machine works, what you're doing over here.
So this is a UV printer. This is a machine that basically, if we want to put any design on something that is not apparel, this is what we do. It's mainly for putting on leather so that we can cut them out and put them on the heads, make them all nice and everything like that.
So you're printing the leather right over here, and then after it gets printed out, it goes over here to Cowboy to polish up?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Tell me a little bit about what you do over here and polishing the leather and stuff.
Well, what I do over here is I take these patches that come from an engraver and a UV printer over there. I get them all cleaned up with the silo soap and everything, makes them more supple, easier to deal with when we're doing what we need to do with them, putting them on the hats. And then I take this mink oil, this right here, and I take a good generous portion of it off my finger and put it on each patch. And that gives it basically a water-resistant barrier. It makes it to where it's impervious to the elements. And then if people at home want to treat the hats again after they get them, they're more than welcome to do that. It helps extend the life of your hat and just get it all around better look.
Essentially, we get the orders in. We organize the graphics we get. We create layouts. And then we put the ink down, the adhesive powder. Big heater dries them on, and then we ship them off to pressers.
This is upstairs of the facility where Bigly produces everything for the AlexJonesStore.com. These people handle web development, email campaigns, text campaigns, everything that we need to stay operational and ensure that the InfoWars audience gets all the products that they need as quickly as possible and knows about all the incredible deals. So go to the AlexJonesStore.com and support us right now. Keep Alex Jones on the air.
I am cutting this announcement on the evening of July 21st, 2025. That means you've got 8 days until next Tuesday the 29th to take advantage of one of the biggest sales yet at thealexjonesstore.com on some of the most amazing supplements in the world. We have the very best medical grade methylene blue. You can buy one bottle of liquid, already discounted, get one absolutely free. Just go research the medical effects, the medical benefits of methylene blue, and understand we have the very best out there. USP grade, medical grade. We've given it to all our guests. They've all had amazing varying effects. I've given it to over 500 people personally. Only 3 or 4 of them have had no effect. That means your mitochondria is in great shape if you have no effect, but most of us need it. It has incredible benefits. The same is for the amazing Irish sea moss, Shilajit, and more. The sale goes until next Tuesday, the 29th of July, 2025, and it funds our operations. Get yours, and it funds the InfoWar. Right now, discounted. Buy one, get one free at thealexjonesstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The show that digs deeper than the rest. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, let's cover this other geopolitical news here. Dealing with Ukraine and Russia, and that war is ongoing. Lots of strikes going back and forth. Ukraine strikes deep at Russia's largest explosives plant. And this was a massive drone strike in 10 different Russian regions as the latest rounds of peace talks have failed. As both countries are intensifying bombing campaigns, Ukraine hitting Russia's explosive factories. Russia launches heavy strikes despite Trump's arms pledge to Ukraine. So we were supposed to stop our funding and supporting of that, and it hasn't, unfortunately for us, and really unfortunately for everybody involved, because it's just leading to more death. Instead of forcing either Ukraine or both countries to stop, it's just the more money, the more weapons we put in there, the worse it gets. Ukraine and Russia attack each other's territory after latest rounds of peace talks failed. Air attacks resume quickly after direct talks. Prisoner exchange discussed, but no ceasefire moves. Woman killed by falling drone in Russia. Deaths and attacks in Odessa, Kharkiv, and Sumy region. Russia strikes Kharkiv in latest attack, killing at least one. Russian attacks kill two in East Ukraine, 33 hit in Kharkiv. Ukraine secures more funds for some Patriot systems as Russia is striking at the heart of Kharkiv. So back and forth, the death, the destruction continues there. And I wish Trump would have stuck with his gut, stuck with his instincts, and really stuck with his original policy, which was if we can't end it, we're going to try to end it. But if we can't end it, we're just going to let them have at it. We're not funding it anymore. We're not providing military support anymore. We're done. They'll have to fight it out. And it's not even a NATO country, so you can't even use the NATO excuse, which they love to use. But it's not a member of NATO. So, and that's why Russia is so pissed, because it's basically acting as a member of NATO when it's not. And they've expressed this, but they always leave it out. They leave that portion out of it in the Western media that loves to demonize Putin. Run by the military-industrial complex influence, so that the defense contractors stay rich, all of their shareholders stay rich, and the money keeps flowing as the blood keeps flowing. So then there's France. After Macron says we're going to recognize the state of Palestine, French Israelis fume as Paris prepares to recognize Palestinian state. They're saying they feel abandoned. All right. Well, do you want to be French or do you want to be an Israeli? I suppose now is the time to decide, huh? And then you had this. Jewish children removed from flight in Spain for singing in Hebrew. And so this is how it's being pitched. It was a noise complaint. But it turned out the song they were singing was Death to Arabs. The kids, the young Jewish kids singing Death to Arabs on the plane. So they were removed from the flight. But that's anti-Semitism, is what they're saying. And these poor Jewish kids singing Death to Arabs and getting noise complaints on the flight. That's considered anti-Semitism. So it's just not going well. It's just not going well. Israel's relations with the rest of the world, and unfortunately, Jewish people are suffering now too, because, Jewish and non-Jewish relations are not so good in some instances. Not so good. So, you know, the good news is, though, when we talk about this stuff, no matter who you are, white, black, Asian, anything else, Jewish, Christian, anything else, you know, 99% of your exchanges with other humans is probably going to be positive. But there's no doubt if it's 99 now, at this rate, it'll be 98 tomorrow. So it's not trending the right direction with all of this nonsense. But overall, it mostly just plays in the political world and not in the real world experience, at least from my experience, I would say that. That's what I would say. Now, the Democrats might have had the greatest self-own of all time on social media yesterday. And I know we briefly covered it. They've deleted the post. Now, there were other members of the left-wing media, there were other members of the Democrat Party that shared that, thinking it was a big own. Like, oh, this is Trump's economy. So in case you haven't seen it yet, guys, you can dot cam this or pull up any of the graphics. I know Alex had one on his show that was similar to this, but actually was a little better because it showed Trump and Biden. So they say, oh, look how expensive U.S. grocery prices are. And it's just, I mean, literally it's from Biden. I mean, it's just like, that's literally Biden that did that. And then they say, oh, Trump did that. And it's literally Biden. And you know what's funny? You look at this. The grocery bills went up the most, but alcohol stayed the lowest. Huh. That tells you something. but it's the greatest cell phone in the history of the internet. And as I'm watching this unfold, and then they erase the post, you know, we've kind of moved on from swinging at the left all day. They're not really in power. They're kind of having a little bit of a an identity crisis right now. There's a void in leadership. So they're not too strong. They're not too influential. They're still out there kind of flailing around. But, you know, it's not really necessary for us to be going after the left all day. So there's some right-on-right stuff and some, you know, some stuff with Trump and everything else, foreign policy stuff. But we don't really attend to them anymore. So this story doesn't really get the proper play. And I'm watching it all play out, and everybody's just having a laugh, right? But, you know, this is actually, there's a serious issue to be reviewed here. And I've talked about this for a long time. I'm not really sure how else to phrase it other than to just put it very frankly, put it very bluntly. This is how retarded Democrats are. This is how stupid they are. That's not some word play. This isn't some shallow attack of the left. I mean, literally, they're so dumb that they will share a graph of total proof of Biden and the Democrats raising the cost of living astronomically. The undeniable proof. If you were to have a debate about who was responsible for the astronomical rise of the cost of living, the consumer price index, the grocery bill, energy bill, everything else, if you were looking for the total proof that it was the Democrats and Biden, this would be it. This would be the final say right here. And they are the ones that shared it, thinking this owns Trump. That's how dumb these people are. I mean, you almost can't even fathom it. And they want to run the government. They want to run your country. They want to run your life. They want to teach your children. And they're so stupid that they couldn't even see what they were posting was like the exact opposite of the argument that they thought they were making. That's how dumb they are. So, yeah, I make the joke. It's like there's a hint of seriousness to it. But, you know, I make the joke of we need to have little tykes government for Democrats so they can feel like they're governing a country. They can feel like they're in charge. But at the end of the day, it's just fake. It's just plastic. But they feel important. They feel like it's, oh, I'm here. It's like a kid. You have your little tykes kitchen set for the kid, and it has a fake knife and a fake oven and a fake stovetop and everything else. And so, you know, they're not boiling water and they're not cutting themselves with knives, but they feel like they're in the kitchen. You know, they feel like they're making food and cutting up food, a little plastic piece of bread. It's fun for them and it's good. They feel like they're in the kitchen, like mommy and daddy cooking food. You really need this for Democrats. This is how dumb they are. So I mean, thank you. You just totally proved Joe Biden and the Democrats are it couldn't be more proof positive. Joe Biden and the Democrats are the reason why life in America is so expensive today compared to 5 years ago. And you just gave us the evidence thinking it was an own of Donald Trump. That's how dumb they are. That's how blind they are. That's how stupid they are. And that's why they're so dangerous when they get into political power or any type of power. Political power, legal power, teachers, doctors. I mean, who do you think's genitally mutilating children? Who do you think's chopping off young girls' breasts, calling it transgender surgery? Those aren't Republicans. That's these guys. You walk into the kids' classrooms and there's just gay flags everywhere, and it's math class. They're talking about how many sexes there are. Do you think that's Republicans or Democrats? When they're talking about censoring free speech, oh, I guess that is Republicans and Democrats. Never mind. Never mind. So this is how dumb they are. Let this be a lesson. See, that's what I said. I understand the spite vote, and I understand a bunch of right-wingers feeling disenfranchised. I get it. We've all been there. And look, I get it. People, when we get disenfranchised and the Republicans let us down and they never fulfill their promises and they always tease us and then never deliver, I get it. Out of spite, people won't vote or even vote Democrat. I see it every election cycle. I get it. I wouldn't do it. And this is why. Right here. This is why. Because they're just that dangerous, folks. They're just that dangerous. And if they're this stupid that they can't even read a basic line graph, what is that, third grade you learn about line graphs? Maybe second? They can't even read a basic line graph. You think they should be running government? What do you think's going to happen? You want an example? Look at California. See how dumb they are? See why they can't do it? This is your proof right here. This is maybe the greatest proof we've ever seen in our life. And they voluntarily gave it to us. Thank you very much. Thank you. So I was asking the crew to monitor this story after Blanche met with Maxwell and her lawyers. We're hearing that they're requesting a pardon and that there's been deals that have been cut. So here's the latest in the headlines. Maxwell gave Department of Justice information about 100 people linked to Jeffrey Epstein, according to lawyers. Blanche had every single question answered during the sit-down. Maxwell's attorneys also said that she didn't invoke the Fifth Amendment once. And if she lied, that she could be charged with lying based off the nature of the setting of these conversations. So this is crazy. This is crazy, folks. This is absolutely crazy. Now, you've got people putting out their own lists. I'm not going to read this stuff yet, because we may get some serious stuff. And obviously a deal's been made, I think it's fair to say. Maxwell's attorney has just released a 60-second statement. Let's go ahead and play that for you.
Glenn answered every single question asked of her over the last day and a half. She answered those questions honestly, truthfully, to the best of her ability. She never invoked a privilege. She never refused to answer a question. So we're very proud of her. We're proud of how the process has worked over the past day and a half. We don't know how it's going to play out. We just know that this was the first opportunity she's ever been given to answer questions about what happened. And so the truth will come out about what happened with Mr. Epstein, and she's the person who's answering those questions.
I think Glenn did a wonderful job. She literally answered every question. She didn't say, you know what, don't ask me that. I'm not going to talk about this person. She was asked maybe about 100 different people. She answered questions about everybody, and she didn't hold anything back.
So, obviously, that's her lawyer talking, so he's going to talk like he's representing her. But what's strange is he's talking like a defense lawyer that's currently in court. So that's kind of an interesting little approach to this, but I guess if they're trying to negotiate a deal, that's how you're going to go about it. But so it begs so many more questions now. The obvious one is going to be, what deal are they cutting? That's going to be the question, is what deals are being cut right now. It will likely include, or at least they're requesting, a pardon for Ghislaine. And then what does the DOJ want out of it? But I think the more pertinent question is, why is this investigation being done now? What in the hell happened when these cases were actually in court and Maxwell was actually facing the charges? What was going on? Did we decide we weren't going to investigate? That's what it sounds like. So now we're doing the investigation? So is that a Marine Comey? Is that a Marine Comey job? How can this be? How can we have this billionaire and daughter of a Israeli spy sex trafficking operation, multiple mansions in America, planes flying everybody around? I mean, this is a huge deal. And what? Marine Comey and the DOJ just didn't investigate? Just said, we're not interested? Just take your single charge on these three things and go do your 20 years. We're not investigating any further. Who were they protecting and why? Just like the original Jeffrey Epstein deal in the 2000s, when they exonerated all his co-conspirators in a deal where they didn't even tell the victims what the plea deal was, so they had to bring Epstein back in and re-examine it, and eventually he kills himself in prison or gets killed. And so now they're saying, oh, well, we're interested. We're interested in Epstein's clients now. And again, I just think it's such a rare communication breakdown. It's such a rare just communication failure from Donald Trump on this. So it's obviously not a hoax. Or what are we going to get? Maxwell is going to come out and say, I was only trafficking girls to Jeff, and that's it. Well, who's going to believe that? And we're still going to want to know about all of the videos and audio recordings. We're still going to want to know about how he became a financier and what was he doing with his clients' money? What was he doing with the billions of dollars? So is this going to be like another cover-up, but a deal gets cut? Are we going to actually get answers to this question or these questions? And then when do we sit here and start asking the DOJ, who inside of the DOJ was covering this up? Who was it? Who inside the DOJ wanted to make sure that they could isolate Epstein, isolate Maxwell, and not do an investigation and just say, yep, it's just Epstein, it's just Maxwell, nothing to see here. That's it. That's the story. Who at the DOJ is protecting everyone else involved? Multiple times the DOJ has been running a protection racket for Epstein. Multiple times. And as Acosta once said, well, I was told he was an intelligence agent, so leave him alone. Okay. Okay. So let's hear it then. Let's hear it. So are we really going to get everything? Are we really going to get the truth? Or is this just the next level of the cover-up, and then they're just cutting a deal to benefit both parties? Because the DOJ, they got egg on their face too here. They got an egg on their face dating all the way back to the 90s with Epstein. So everybody's got, so Trump's got reasons to try to get a deal done. The DOJ's got reasons to try to get a deal done. Maxwell's got reasons to try to get a deal done. So now it's like, whenever this all plays out, is anybody going to trust it? Are we actually going to get the answers we want? Or is this just the next phase of the continued cover-up? Well, maybe the aliens will tell us. I have a feeling we're going to get alien. I have a feeling we were going to get alien news. Some of this is old. The government may release some alien news just to distract us. And then I have this other alien thing over here, actually. But aliens could be walking among us on Earth, Harvard researchers suggest. And then the Harvard researchers found what they think is an alien spaceship. Rare interstellar object the size of Manhattan could be alien probe. And they think it could be dangerous. They think it could be aliens that want to come to our planet. Could be violent. Don't they always do this? I feel like whenever they do something, size of Manhattan. Why are they always doing that? Something in space, the size of Manhattan. I guarantee you they use this all the time. I know I've seen other stories about size of Manhattan. So now there's a spaceship the size of Manhattan with aliens coming, guys. All right, bring on the aliens. Let's just do this, man. Let's just do it. Bring on the aliens. Let's see them. Of course, this was a declassified FBI document from 1947 talking about beings are visiting us from other dimensions. Beings from other dimensions. Mm-hmm. And so this was all part of different projects that they had, experiments that they were doing. So, how much do you really think about that, though? Are there beings in space? Will we be dealing with beings in space, coming from space? Or are they just interdimensional demons that are here with us, just operating in a different vibrational frequency so that they can't be seen or heard by the organic human eye? But all of this stuff has already been in declassified government documents. But it's the size of Manhattan. Whatever it is up there, it's always the size of Manhattan. Whether it's a rock, whether it's a spaceship, whether it's an alien itself floating around through space, it's always the size of Manhattan, every single time. It befuddles all logic, all science, all odds within the realm of possibility. But everything we ever find in space, it's always the size of Manhattan. It's amazing how we can do these measurements. And every single time we do, it's the size of Manhattan. What's going on that Manhattan rock in space?
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks. That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room, 2 weeks, when we were coming down to the deadline. And the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying in the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing. Wow, that's so important. People need to call and get a free consultation or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action. Now, the best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott, Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.